From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of April, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County will join us to discuss what's been happening in the local marketplace and cash grain situations across the United States. Then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast. Mark Russo will join us from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Oh, and we'll go back through dicamba soybeans and how herbicide applications to those will be a bit different, at least dicamba herbicides, than most other products farmers have been using over the past several decades. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Monday afternoon, the 10th day of April. This is the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. We're getting to the exciting part of the year here. A lot of volatility starting to pick up, so it's going to be kind of fun from here on out.
Well, tell me a little bit about that and what you think about the markets at this point. Nice little jump in the corn for the day.
Yeah, if you're one that's needing the market to go up, it was a good day. Basically, corn had a sell-off over the last 2 weeks, went down to about the point of breakout. It hit the perfect retracement levels and kind of held. We saw some export interest start to pick up late last week there at those lower levels. Producer selling slowed substantially on that price break. And so it's sort of the perfect storm to start to take place here as the weather maps continue. So moisture is basically 10 days on out. So even though it is still early in the planting season, the anticipation that things could become a little bit more critical here as we get towards the end of the month. We're putting a little weather premium back into the marketplace, and being Monday, first day of the week, there was quite a bit of anxiety. Get a little ownership on here to start the week out.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week?
Well, good question. A lot of ups and downs. Tomorrow we'll have the monthly supply-demand report. A lot of the trades trying to price in some larger ending stocks. On corn, the average estimate is 2.35 billion bushels. That's about 15 million bushels more than, 32 million bushels more than the March report. Bean ending stocks expected to come in 447 million bushels. That's up about 12 million bushels from last month. These increases are basically due to looking at the stocks report. Grain stocks were a little higher than anticipated. I don't think those numbers are going to be that high. It's a little early to adjust to those higher levels just off that one stocks report. See how those numbers unfold. Probably the bigger numbers, though, will be the South American production numbers. That Brazilian bean crop will be watched real close. There's estimates as high as 113 million metric tons, and that's quite a bit above the March estimate, 108 million metric tons. Argentine bean numbers, even Argentine corn numbers, expect to be just about unchanged since they are still in the early stage of their harvest activity. It might be kind of hard to adjust those a whole lot and until some more harvest results come in.
I know there are some folks that are beginning to roll a plant a little bit in our area around the Champaign County area. It's a bit wet, I still think, for most people to start planting corn. What have you heard from your clientele?
A lot of activity southwest of us. They were in a drier pocket. The southern third of Illinois is a little bit better shape. They've missed quite a bit of moisture. It looks like this first go-around they're going to miss this moisture event. Going into the weekend here, there's up to 3 inches in the forecast for the upper Midwest. So that's going to keep them at a standstill. As a nation, we'll have our first report here this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and these will be updated every Monday afternoon at 3. As a nation, we're probably in this 2-3% complete. The South, of course, had a big jump. They were slowed down last week with moisture, but I would think the South probably will on target for the averages, particularly Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, and Alabama. We'll see how the forecast unfolds for them as we move through the week. But we'll not only have the planting progress, but the winter wheat crop conditions. The Western Belt, particularly Kansas and a couple of those areas out west, were showing not up to average on the good to excellent category for wheat. So we'll see if we see some recovery there of 1% to 2% with the moisture they received there last week or two, Todd.
Anything on the global front other than the WASDE report numbers that we should be looking at? For instance, is there weather conditions in South America or other places across the planet?
Well, Argentina continues to be an issue. They're probably in this 15, 20% harvested area. They continue to have moisture in their forecast, but yet the trade continues to keep their yield high. So I wonder if we're going to be in a quality issue there at some point. The moisture continues. That'd probably be the hot spot here over the near term to keep an eye on as they try to continue to get that crop out.
Anything else, or shall I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, keep an eye on this meat market. It's been dynamic in the cattle complex. Seasonally, we roll over this time of year. But as everyone well knows, we're seeing a situation where the cash market has sustained a substantial premium to where the board is. So the old meat complex is just about like the old pork belly contract, a lot of volatility there. And we're getting to a point now where they're going to start watching some cookout featuring here as we move into the springtime window.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, some processing plants in Brazil will be closed. As part of an investigation, the nation found 8 samples of meat out of 302 that tested positive for bacterial contamination. Unrelated problems uncovered at 3 processors led the government to order the cancellation of their Federal Inspection Service registrations, closing them permanently. The Brazilian government did not give details about the reasons to close those plants in a published statement, that according to the meat industry publication Meeting Place. A spokesperson for Brazil's agriculture ministry says other meat packers may also have their registrations revoked as our audits proceed. The investigation was launched when alleged bribes to public inspectors to allow tainted meat to pass inspections were uncovered. Well, let's stay in the southern hemisphere for the moment. Mexico is taking a sooner rather than later approach when it comes to potential changes to the North American Free Trade Agreement. A top Mexican official told CNN Money last week it will be in the best advantage of countries involved that we finish this negotiation within the context of this year. That's because Mexico will hold a presidential election in July of next year, and the current president has reached term limits, meaning there's no guarantee the next administration will come to the negotiating table. Mexico's top trade officials argued it would be challenging to ratify a deal by mid-2018, but that they would like to wrap up negotiations by the end of this year nonetheless. The U.S. is already undergoing the administrative steps to start the negotiations. Well, coming back home to the United States, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch of Utah is hopeful his committee can advance the nomination of Robert Lighthizer, President Donald Trump's nominee, for U.S. Trade Representative when the Senate returns from its 2-week Easter recess. Hatch attempted a committee vote Thursday but was forced to delay the vote after just one Democrat, Oregon's Ron Wyden, showed up to the committee meeting. Democrats on the committee are concerned that Lighthizer, a veteran trade lawyer and a Reagan-era deputy trade representative, needs a congressional waiver from a 1995 law prohibiting USTR candidates from working on behalf of foreign governments. Wyden said Democrats' concerns needed to be addressed, but he was confident that a way could be found. The waiver could be included in a catch-all spending bill Congress yet needs to pass to avoid a government shutdown on the 24th of this month. We'll stay in D.C., where a coalition representing various agricultural groups recently met with the leadership from the Environmental Protection Agency. The Production Agriculture CEO Council, which includes CEOs of the American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers Association, and others, met with the EPA Administrator, Scott Pruitt, and other EPA staff members. The agriculture leaders focused on topics important for agriculture, including expressing the importance of the ag liaison position at EPA. The coalition coalition also talked with EPA staff about renewable fuels and providing certainty and predictability in the marketplace. The need for more timely decisions from EPA on registration and re-registration of crop protection products, and the need to reform the consultation process among EPA and the National Marine Fisheries Service for required Endangered Species Act reviews of registrations and re-registrations of crop protection products. And finally today, data from the United States Department of Agriculture shows ag and ag-related industries contributed $992 billion to the U.S. GDP, or gross domestic product. In 2015, farmers' contributions to GDP fell for the second consecutive year after reaching a high point at $189.9 billion in 2013. A major reason for the downward trend has been falling commodity prices like corn and soybeans, which peaked around 2013 and have since declined by at least 30%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, farmers going to the field this spring will be using a brand new type of soybean that will require them to exercise a great deal of caution when making herbicide applications. Dicamba is a very old herbicide. It's been in use for more than four decades. It kills broadleaf plants, and one of the most sensitive of these, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager, has long been the soybean.
It's one of the most sensitive broadleaf species that's grown in Illinois. You can look in the literature and find studies that have been done now for 40 or 50 years really trying to look at how sensitive soybean are.
Recent work from Missouri indicates sensitivity down to a rate of 1/20,000th of a field use rate. There are many things listed on the dicamba label that will legally bind farmers planting dicamba and spraying resistant varieties, even pre-season prohibitions.
We'll give one example. If we're looking at Xtendimax label, which is a straight dicamba formulation from Monsanto, if there's a requirement to have a buffer area, a downwind buffer area, the size of that buffer area would vary depending on the rate that's applied. So an in-crop application of up to a half a pound of dicamba acid would require a 110-foot buffer. However, if we're using dicamba now in this pre-plant or this pre-emergence time frame, if we're allowed to go up to a full pound of dicamba at that application, well, if we do that, now that buffer goes to 220 feet.
This is not a recommendation. It's a restriction. There's a big difference, says Aaron Hager, and farmers planning to use dicamba on dicamba-resistant soybean fields this season must understand the consequences.
These statements on these labels are not recommendations. These are things that must be followed every time these applications are made. So, for example, if you elect not to follow something like the nozzle selection type or the height of the boom above the crop canopy, you are now violating this federal law, this federal label.
This story has listed just a few of the restrictions: the downwind buffer, the nozzle selection type, the height of the boom above the canopy. There are others, including speed, temperature, inversions, and predicted rainfall events. The point, says Hager, is that farmers choosing to use dicamba-resistant soybeans this season and spraying them with dicamba must read, understand, and follow the labels. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market now. Amy Sage is here. She's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Hey, so we're not really all that sure why corn decided to rally today. You have any better ideas there?
I really don't, to be honest. I think we just saw some short covering today on corn and wheat, but no real major news. We do have a S&D out tomorrow, but we've already seen the 31st report, which was the big one that we had been waiting for. So probably just a little short covering in front of the report is my best guess today.
Your expectation is no follow-through until we get something from USDA at 11 a.m. tomorrow, then.
Bingo.
How about in the local area? anything happening?
No, not really. We got a little bit of rain this morning, a little bit more coming through this afternoon. It doesn't look like it's going to amount to too terribly much in our immediate area, so, but not a lot of activity at this point, depending on what the weather does. If we don't get too much precipitation between now and the weekend, I would expect, potentially seeing some activity after we get through this weekend. Looks like we're going to have a few more windy, warmer days, so we'll see as far as that goes, but definitely people anxious, but nothing really going on today.
Nothing to worry about at this point either, I suppose, in terms of the timing of putting the crop in the ground.
Yep, a little early yet, so.
Local basis levels look like what?
We're 17 under on nearby corn, new crop 25 under. Nearby soybeans, we are 22 under the maize still. New crop, we're at 30 under. So those have been staying pretty steady here for the past couple weeks.
How do they compare, in your opinion, to this time of year normally?
Well, with the big supply that we've got out there, a little bit lower than normal, but I guess a lot better than what I would have anticipated with the crop size that we had in this area.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's a lack of selling, to be honest. I mean, we are looking at very few opportunities to sell at attractive levels for the farmer in corn, particularly to where, some of the basis has to do some of the work that the board typically would do. So I think that that's probably a major motivator there to keep them steadier than what you would anticipate with our supply.
And for soybeans, basis levels are 22 under, you said. Would that be fairly normal or not?
That's pretty close, yep. And we actually did see some processors back off a little bit today. Our basis level here stay the same, but to be honest, ours is pretty attractive by comparison right now in the area. So just saw some really short opportunities with some positive values, and those they have backed off. We've been able to hold where we're at, but we'll see what happens here going forward. If the board continues to stay lower, maybe we see the area improve a little bit. But right now, beans are a little bit different situation than what corn was, too, from a farmer selling perspective. We've had opportunities to sell $10 beans, and we did see the farmer do that. So those have been a little bit weaker, compared to what corn has been doing.
And what are your bids for the day?
You bet. 350 cash soybeans falls at 366. I'm sorry, 350 cash corn. and fall corn's at 366. Cash soybeans are 920. And fall, we are also at 920.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, can you tell me a little bit about the rainfall we've had and what our expectations are? Farmers are starting now to get a little anxious to get into the field and plant corn across the bulk of the Midwest.
Yeah, well, as far as recent rains, really this past weekend saw generally dry conditions until really the past 24 hours or so. And we saw then a storm system begin to track into the region. And this is a storm system that will continue to produce rain activity in primarily the central and eastern Midwest today into tonight and tomorrow. And then that'll be followed by another system here coming up on Friday night or Friday into early Saturday. And so we're seeing this pattern. Again, this pattern has been in place, but we're going to see additional storm systems or waves of low pressure tracking into the middle of the country. And each wave or storm system will produce some various coverage and amounts here. But with this succession of systems, we're not seeing much in the way of any extended stretches of dry weather over the next several weeks. And so, like, for example, with this stretch here ending today, it was approximately 3 to 3.5 days of dry conditions. And then that'll be followed up by that after today and tomorrow system, another 3-day stretch. But for looking out really over the next 15, 16 days, these at best we're going to have about 3-day stretches of dry weather. So again, it depends on how much rain is and how much, you know, soil can hold those rains here coming up. That's obviously going to be the key to planting progress coming up. And as it looks right now, it looks like the heaviest, most widespread rains will be, and this is more of a macro view over the next couple of weeks, but the acreage kind of along and west of the Mississippi, so primarily the central and the western Midwest.
All right. So along with that, if we're looking at periodic rainfall, what farmers want to know in between is whether they'll be able to get into the field. That'll depend, I think, a lot on how warm it is and wind conditions as well.
If definitely from a temperature standpoint, we're in a warmer than normal temperature pattern. So obviously this would be more concerning here with the active pattern if it was combined with cooler than normal temperatures and soil temperatures were especially cool. We're not seeing that this year. While actually last week did feature some cooler soil temperatures, that changed dramatically over the weekend with the warmer temperatures, sunshine and wind. And we will see sunnier skies, some windy conditions in between these storm systems. So that will help improve there, but albeit briefly. So again, it's not wide open for planting here coming up, but it's not, at least over the next couple of weeks, you know, huge areas that are having big issues with the start of planting, it's really going to come down to, you know, regional areas and what the specific totals. But if you had to pick an area, what we would pick would be basically, you know, the western half of the Midwest, especially the Southwest, Missouri, southern Iowa into Nebraska, Kansas, which will have the slowest progress for the next few weeks.
Thanks so much, Mark. Mark Russo is with Brisk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.